Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do it today. I was ready for it. Yeah! Oh, I can't do it. It hurt a little bit. Been better, been worse, Corey. Been better, been worse. Appreciate you asking. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The fourth final hour of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate starts right now. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown, the Grape and Lonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass. This AM, be a part of the radio broadcast. The renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone is open at 844-326-3663. The text line is open, 71-307-71-307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the radio program. You can tweet us at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, and tweet everybody at the Fan Upstate. And, of course, come join the live stream. We got Trey and other Trey and Mac and James and April and Shane and Steven and Keegan. And we used to have Dennis, but he hates fun, so he left. But everybody else is still hanging in here, having
a good time. Did he really leave?
I mean, he hasn't said anything else since he said he was leaving to go listen to...
to a show that's on in the afternoon.
Yeah. It's pretty stellar. Pretty stellar. Anyway, Texas says, Rob, what's your thoughts on sriracha and ranch dipping sauce combined? That's from Scotty at BMW. Scotty, I'm going to be straight up. I have never once thought of trying that, and now I will. Never once thought of trying that, and I now I will say this. If you go to the grocery store, one of the dressing-making organizations has started making ranch flavors, like bacon ranch, jalapeno ranch, southwestern ranch, and I'm in for them, to be honest with you. I saw a new one last night. I had to go up to the store last night to get some shredded lettuce. We were making our lean turkey tacos. So I had to go get some lettuce for him last night. And last night, Lonzo, this particular ranch manufacturing company, they have apparently rolled out Cheez-It flavored ranch.
That sounds excellent, by the way. A couple weeks ago, tried the Cheez-It taco stuff. Have you tried Taco Bell?
I have not.
They're really good. There's a crunch wrap with a giant Cheez-It in it. And there's also, I think it's a tostada with a giant Cheez-It shell. You should give it a shot.
Speaking of tostadas and available taco restaurants, here's a story that leans right into that. U.S. Olympic trials going on right now, right? We got all the different sports trying to figure out who's going to go carry the stars and stripes into Paris, France, when the Olympics get underway in a couple of weeks. Oh, what, 3 weeks now? One of those Olympians is Kendall Ellis. Kendall Ellis is a sprinter. She's a racer. She's a runner. She's a tracker, whatever you want to call her. Kendall Ellis was getting set to run the 400-meter dash, her sport of her event of choice, to get to the Olympics. Kendall Lewis, 1 hour, less than 1 hour, before her semifinal at the U.S. track trials, was trapped in a porta potty, banging on the door and screaming for someone to let her out. After some amount of time, someone eventually did. All she did was go on less than an hour later after being trapped in what I have to imagine is the worst place on earth to be trapped, a porta potty at a major public event.
So I watched her run this, and if I recall, the announce team mentioned that she was trapped in a room. They did not say porta potty. And that, are there laws in national TV where you can't say porta potty?
I do not know.
Because that would have made it even more significant. Trapped in a porta potty. I mean, those things are small and they don't smell nice.
No. According to Eddie Pels from the Associated Press, less than an hour before her semifinal at the U.S. track trials, 400-meter runner Kendall Ellis was trapped in a porta potty, banging on the door, screaming for someone to let her out. Thankfully, somebody did. She won that race with an all-time personal best time, then came back the next day to top that mark and win the final, along along with the national championship and the spot in the Olympics that come with it. She said, quote, crazy things happen right before something great is about to occur, so maybe I needed to get all the nerves and adrenaline out. Apparently wasn't the only thing she was getting out before she went and ran that race. The 28-year-old was considered a relay specialist. She will go to the Olympics to compete for an individual title after running a 48.91 in the semi, marked her first personal best in 6 years. She beat it by another 0.3 seconds the next day in the championship round. And the only thought I had was, I was at the U.S. Open a couple of weeks ago up in Pinehurst, number two. Pinehurst Village, North Carolina. And I will tell you that this is golf. This is golf. This is a gentleman's sport. This is one of the few sporting arenas that even Rob Brown brings a bit of decorum and etiquette to the event, right? I mean, I was still shotgunning beers up on the 11th, but like, you bring some degree of decorum and etiquette.
That's why you went to Cotillion, so you could go to golf.
Correct.
Audience, yes.
Correct. I even bought my top collar button while we were there.
Look at that.
All right? Very, very swanky, very fancy. Towards the end of the day, as Joey B and I were prepared to get up out of there, I decided, you know what? We got about a 20-minute bus shuttle ride back to the parking lot. And traffic on the way out is going to be chaos. I probably should go ahead and use the old restroom before we got out of here, which were porta potties. And I will tell you that in the thousands of years, or at least it felt like thousands of years, because of some of the porta potties that I have been forced and obligated to go into, dude, I lost my faith in humanity in a porta potty. Like, I walked in there and saw the disaster that human beings made and then left at the porta potty at the U.S. Open.
Come on.
And immediately was like,
compare that to what we see down the hall every once in a while.
No, dude.
Really, worse than that.
Not worse than that. I forgave those people based on what I experienced in those porta potties. There was one that there was remnants of a solid waste deposit on the inside of the door to the, on the door, which if you've ever been in a porta potty, you know, is on the opposite side of where the fecal matter is supposed to be deposited. On the door, there was a skid mark. Explain that to me. Anybody, explain to me how it got there. There's only two options. One, somebody wiped with just their hand. Or two, they turned around, bent over, and went cheeks to door and did it intentionally. Either way, what?
Possibility of a child who didn't quite make it, and they're trying to move them over after they close the door, and the child, I mean, you know.
Then don't bring your kid in public.
Okay.
That's, if the result of your child.
Public, they were like inside of a space where public couldn't see.
That the public has to do a mandatory necessary life function. If it was a kid, that kid needs to not be in public anymore.
Gotta say, that's one of my big concerns about the concert coming up.
Oh, dude. I genuinely walked out of the porta potty area at the Open and immediately was like, I'm team giant meteor now. We deserve it. All right? We deserve it.
Wow, that's fatalistic.
Yes.
I don't want to die. Don't do that.
Dude, I you would have if you went in one of these porta potties. Genuinely. Like, Rob Brown's not adverse. Like, if I, like, I'll use a tree. Okay. I'll use a tree.
Well, you're a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I'll use a tree. Ain't no shame. Ain't no shame in the game. All right? I'll use a tree. I'm not going to say, you know, I've never, like, been out in the backyard with the dog. Dog's not quite done to be in the business. And it's like, all right, well, I'll do mine while we're out here, too.
Don't hug the tree after.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't
all right?
do that. Yeah.
I'm not averse to it. I'm a gross man, just like a majority of our listening audience. I'm not above it. But, man, the war crimes that were committed, and this young lady got trapped in a porta potty, which I can't imagine the horror. Got trapped in one, and then all she did was come out and immediately earn a natty and a trip to the Olympics.
But think about it. You're trapped in there. All you're going to want to do is run away from it. So, I mean, it's the perfect sport for her after being trapped.
I guess. I guess.
You run away from the smell. You run away from the thought. You're running away from the memory. I mean, a lot of things to run away from.
I guess, man. Like, you look at it, and you just imprint that on your brain and then give it arms and legs. And when the starting pistol goes off, imagine you're running from the inside of an anthropomorphic porta potty, and I bet I would have made the damn Olympics. Hey, let's go to another story real quick. Because I feel like I've used all the jokes about that. A couple of days ago, the New York Mets were taking on the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field. And there was a Mets fan there when Mets catcher Francisco Alvarez came to the dish in the fifth inning. Alvarez went Nakahoma out to center field. New York was down 6-0. The ball found its way to a fan in a Mets cap and jersey in left center, picked it up as you would if you're an away fan who gets an away team dinger, right? That's a prized possession now. I don't accept it. Holds that ball up in the air and starts screaming, "Let's go, Mets." Why wouldn't you, right? You're down 6-1. Who cares? You just had a moment that so many of us have begged our entire lives for, right? Well, the Cubs fans around him started chanting, "Throw it back, throw it back." And the coward did it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a burn. Mm-hmm.
Dude, not a leader.
You gotta clip that part.
Already did.
Okay.
Already did. Didn't have time to put it onto the board. Already clipped, my guy. He said, "Obviously not a leader. Grow a spine, bud." That's not just brutal, Lonzo, and it is, but not just brutal. It is on top of that accurate. 100% accurate.
All right, so you've many times on these airwaves talked about how you haven't got a fly ball, a foul ball, whatever, in the outfield. Would you throw it back?
No, hell no.
Okay.
Hell no.
All right.
Are you kidding me? If I catch one.
He may not be on your team, but he's still a famous guy from another team.
No, yeah. It was from his team.
He was
an away team fan who caught an away team dinger from an away team player and then let the Cubs fans peer pressure him into throwing it back. The only thing they would have got from me is one bird. Because I'd have been using the other hand to hold that ball.
I think the way you hold
it. I'd have helicopter birded him.
I think you probably could still find a way to bird while holding the baseball. I'm pretty sure.
Toss the ball in the air, double bird them while it floats, and catch it on the way down.
While hanging onto the ball, you could still put a finger up. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah.
I grabbed my phone to test the theory. Theory's correct. I absolutely could.
Well, you really didn't know if you could. The ball's round.
And yeah, I know. But like, is it like, does the middle family, I'm doing it off camera here because I'm classy and this is a family friendly show. Stop taking your kids in public if they can't not poop on a door. Like I had to test it out because I didn't know if like the middle finger would extend long enough to give the impact of just how much I needed every home team fan to get it in that moment. Listen, I'm the dude.
Maybe not if you were like Kenny Pickett or something, but I mean, you're fine. You should be able to do that.
I'm the dude. Wait a minute. I got a baseball right here. Hang on.
I thought we had one in here somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, 100%. All the impact.
Sorry, stream. He won't do it for some reason on stream. I don't know why. Just to prove that it's possible. That's not the, yeah. See, he was able to extend the finger, and you guys got to see it, and no one else did.
So, all I'm saying is, these Mets broadcasters who took a little flack deserve none. They're absolutely right.
Really?
That is gutless.
They said something to them about that?
From what they were taking it like on social media, like the social media world was like, "Man, you gotta call a guy out for living up to an." Because the baseball tradition is if you are a home team fan and you catch an away team home run, throw it back, throw it back. And I will tell you, I probably would do that, right? If it was an Aaron Judge home run, I'm hanging on to that. Because if that turns out to be home run number 35 of 63, and he goes on to break the AL single season record for dingers that year, then I want number 35 that I can verify and go back and auction that thing off and make a bunch of money. Because, yes, that's the game, right? That's the game. But if it's like, I don't know, if Oswaldo Cabrera hits one, and I'm a home team fan that catches an away team home run, out of deference to the tradition of baseball, I'd probably throw it back. But I promise you, if I'm a Braves fan and I'm at, I don't know, Nationals Park, and Matty Ice Ice Baby Olsen sends one yad, and I catch it, it ends up in my hands, and the Nats fans start hitting me with a throw it back chant. No, no, no. I do have a spine, and I am a leader. Not only am I holding that ball, I am holding the double birds up proud. Well, I'm stone cold Steve Austin-ing everybody in the stands.
A lot of fights breaking out lately in stadiums, so you're probably going to get some hands if you do that.
Make sure that baseball's tucked deep down in the pocket and then bring it. I am putting birds up on both sides of the body and spinning around like an Apache helicopter, letting everybody know how I feel about it. Every one of them. All right, let's take a break. I may or may not do one more soccer segment.
Whirly birds.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, what are they going to do? Assault him? Exactly. I promise you.
Yeah, they probably would. I mean, there's a lot of fights in baseball lately in stands.
Chicago. The ACC and ESPN have requested that Clemson move its home game against South Carolina to Friday night, which would make it on Black Friday. Ooh, how do we feel about that? How do we feel about that? We'll talk about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Got a couple of segments left here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We talked very briefly about it on the way out there. The Atlantic Coast Conference and ESPN requested of Clemson, not mandated nor directed, but requested that the Clemson Tigers move their home contest against the South Carolina Gamecocks to the Friday night after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. Court documents obtained by TigerNet pertaining to the school's lawsuit against the conference in its effort to break the grant of rights revealed the conference and ESPN made the request. The conference asked Clemson to move the game scheduled for the November 30th, that is a Saturday, to a Friday night primetime game on ESPN. They go on to drop a little history here. The rivalry game was played on Thursdays until 1959, when President John F. Kennedy was shot in 1963. The game was postponed a week and played the following Saturday. From the first time the two schools met in 1896 to the 1959 meeting, Clemson and South Carolina played in Columbia during the week of the state fair. The first 57 meetings were played on the third Thursday of every October. Thanksgiving, later than usual this year, will be observed Thursday, November 28th. Apparently, the league and ESPN agreed to several concessions regarding Clemson's future scheduling. That a November 23rd game versus the Citadel would be scheduled at noon. Confirmed primetime game for the Friday, November 29th game. Agreement to switch the scheduled 2027 Labor Day Monday conference game featuring Clemson and NC State to a Clemson home ACC game. A limit of two road ACC games in 2024 played in prime time, and an agreement that the University of South Carolina will reciprocate with hosting a future v. South Carolina game on another Black Friday. The league said that despite having secured these concessions and despite other ACC teams having agreed to play on Black Friday in previous instances, i.e. Georgia Tech versus Georgia, Florida State versus Florida, etc., Clemson declined to move the game. In an email from the ACC to Clemson Athletic Director Graham Neff, Michael Strickland, the Senior Associate Commissioner for Football, wrote, quote, "As has been indicated to you during this process, the conference office is disappointed in Clemson University's lack of cooperation on this matter. As all ACC members know, it is incumbent upon the ACC and its institutions to work in good faith with ESPN on football scheduling issues. This cooperation maximizes the value of our relationship with our media partner and strengthens our collective future. Clemson's decision not to do so in this instance is harmful toward that goal. With regards, Michael Strickland." Remember a very long time ago in the last segment where I talked about doing the old helicopter double bird? Clemson to the ACC. Yeah, bleep you guys. You're suing us. It doesn't matter that we sued you first. We don't want to go to this school no more. We don't. We don't want to be here. Why would we make life easier on you? Why would we not go out of our way to make it more difficult on you? Why would we do anything to make you more money when making less money helps us not help you make money at all anymore? Sooner rather than later, fingers crossed. Of course they said no to this.
So this thing used to be on Thursday a bunch, and I remember people talking about this when I moved here a very long time ago and how that was tradition. So there are a lot of people living now that weren't around then, and they don't realize it was tradition. This I didn't think about that angle that you're saying towards ESPN. I thought maybe they just might be afraid of South Carolina.
I mean, they still got to play them.
They do.
Not asking they to do. Cancel
yeah,
the game.
But if you're going to lose to the Gamecocks – after a mediocre season, you don't want to do it in prime time. You want it to be buried on Saturday where all the real rivalry games are, and that way people won't notice.
I mean, I very much like the aspect of the answer you're going with here.
Football's like a month or so away.
Yeah, no,
so,
I get it. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm here for it.
It's like jogging before you know, trying to get back in shape before you're ready to go full on sprint when it hits here. You know,
got to be in the zone, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to be in the zone. Yeah, of course they made a decision that is harmful toward the goal of working in good faith. They are mad at ESPN. They are mad at the ACC. They don't want to be in the ACC. And ESPN paying the ACC is the only reason the ACC won't let them leave the ACC. So, of course, they said no.
So,
duh.
So they don't want their team to be spotlighted in a national game on a Friday, on Black Friday. Why would you not want that?
I just told you. Because it would make the ACC more money, and they don't want to do that. It's very simple.
How's it make the ACC more money if you're watching on TV?
You get paid more for primetime games. The number, any game, if they stick that game on a Friday night, because there are some Friday night games, but it would absolutely be, especially if South Carolina somehow pulls a miracle season out of their butt, then it would be one of the more viewed primetime games. And what does the ACC then turn around and do? They include that number in all of their sales talking points moving forward. And they can continue. Whereas if Clemson keeps in Florida State and Miami and whoever, North Carolina, whoever wants out, their goal, that's why I'm kind of interested that Florida State, Florida was mentioned in this mix. And I am going to acknowledge I'm working on an assumption here, but it feels like a pretty good one for me. My assumption is, if you're Clemson, you want to keep the ACC's revenue to an absolute minimum, and that includes keeping their television eyeballs to a minimum, because here is the reality. If that game's on Saturday, if it's on the Saturday after Black Friday, if that is on Rivalry Day, yeah, it's a buried game. Especially if the Vegas over-under win total is correct. And let's say South Carolina comes into that game sitting at 5-6, right? Like, maybe it gets a little more attention if it's like Clemson's got to win this game and to, you know, to stay in the top 12 and have a playoff spot. But realistically speaking, unless you are a Gamecock fan or a Tiger fan, nationally, this game is likely going to have no meaning. I suspect the game is going to have meaning this year, right? I would suspect Michigan, Ohio State's going to have a lot of meaning this year. I suspect multiple of the SEC's rivalry weekend games this year are going to matter, are going to have an impact, are going to have weight to them. Respectfully, I don't think Clemson v. South Carolina holds any weight at all to a national audience. So, yeah, if you put it up against all the other rivalry games,
you
nobody cares, nobody watches.
So many people who believe that their team is the center of the universe, and you should. It's your team, but it's not
right.
Really.
Again, to you, it's the most important game of the season. But outside of this area, it's just not. It's a great rivalry. It should all, from what I've experienced, even when it's not been much of one, it's a great rivalry, and it should always be spoken of that way. But on a national scale, with a 12-team playoff in place, this game is likely not going to mean anything to the national landscape of college football. So if the goal for Clemson is to hide this game so that ESPN doesn't get a bump up in numbers, which they would on a Friday night, of course Clemson said no to this.
Yeah, but would they? I mean, you just talked about how it's not that important outside of this state. Would they really get a bump in ratings if you put this on Friday night?
Yeah, because what other games are Friday night, right? Like, what other games are going to feature an SEC team on that Friday night? I don't know what the Black Friday schedule looks like yet. All right, I don't know what it's shaping up to be, but I'm going to be willing to guess that Clemson, South Carolina would that weekend be one of the more attractive Friday night games. Let's go look and see what they've got lined up on that Friday night so far. Here's your list of games on Friday, November 29th. I know the Egg Bowl is every good. I know that game's Friday. That game's always Friday. Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Could that one have some impact? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe it does. A lot of people think Ole Miss is the top 10 team this year. Mississippi State's, they've been back for 100 years. Here's the other games that Friday, Lonzo. Miami of Ohio, Bowling Green. Ball State at regular Ohio. Minnesota at Wisconsin. Oklahoma State at Colorado. Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Liberty at Sam Houston. Texas State at South Alabama. Georgia Tech at Georgia. Nebraska at Iowa. Utah at UCF. Clemson, South Carolina is probably the third most attractive game on that schedule.
Yeah, so technically it's, there are rivalries that day, but it's more of a regional thing. I think if you like the Big Ten, you're watching the Big Ten game. If you like the SEC, you're watching all that, but I don't know.
I think that being...
I'm listening thinking that if any of those games are going to be relevant in the scheme of things, maybe if Georgia Tech were to upset Georgia, maybe.
Okay.
I know. Okay. I'm just saying that it's always a possibility.
Okay,
it's unlikely.
Let's put it this way. If Georgia Tech's up on Georgia in the fourth quarter, everybody's running to it.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Nobody, I think, is going out of their way for Georgia Tech, Georgia. Right? Like, who cares? They're going to get beat by 50.
I was talking about.
I love Brent Key, by the way.
Relevancy as far as end of the season, a game that would matter. That's probably the only, because Georgia's probably going to be right there.
Georgia's going to be in the top two or
yeah.
three.
So if they were to lose, that would be a big deal.
I mean, if Nebraska does what Matt Rule thinks they're going to do, Nebraska-Iowa could actually be interesting. All right? Like that, it really could be, because a lot of people think this is the year Matt Rule takes that step at Nebraska. I don't know if that's true or not, but Iowa was right there in the mix in the Big Ten last year, right? So like maybe that has some weight to it. Utah, right? They got, Cam Rising coming back this year. Like maybe Utah's in the mix at UCF, and we know UCF loves to upset some big dogs, like maybe. But I would make the argument that by that point, Colorado will have lost most of their games. Nobody's going to care about Oklahoma State at Colorado. Like, Liberty could be a threat to be the fifth champ in. Like, maybe Liberty gets some attention at Sam Houston, but I doubt that. I think Clemson, South Carolina would likely be, at the worst, the third most attractive game on that Friday night. And if it's going prime time, there's only three games in the late prime time slot right now. Georgia Tech at Georgia, Nebraska at Iowa, Utah at UCF. So at the if it was the worst game in that slot, if it was the worst game in that slot, it would be the fourth most watched game of the day. That next Saturday, Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Florida State, Louisville, Kentucky, Oklahoma, LSU, Arkansas, Mizzou, Texas, Texas A&M, Maryland, Penn State, Washington, Oregon, Notre Dame, SC. Like all of these games I'm mentioning on a national scale, all of these games that I am mentioning, I'd be willing to bet 90% of them, if not 100% of them, have more weight and more importance than South Carolina Clemson would. So, no, I'm not. If I'm Clemson and I'm trying to get the hell out and I'm trying to injure the ACC in order to make that, to accelerate that process, no, I'm not going to be the, at worst, fourth, probably closer to second or third most attractive game on a Friday when I could be the 17th most attractive game on a Saturday and decrease the amount of eyeballs on that product dramatically. Of course they said no. Obviously they said no. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, I'll run through this real quick, and then we'll get another couple of segments in. Brandon says, yeah, right, you hurt big companies by hurting their pockets. It's the only way. And to be honest, even that's tough to do. But if you're the ACC, excuse me, if you are Clemson fighting the ACC, it's kind of your only option here. It's kind of your only option is to do as much damage to the conference as you can to make them look as weak as possible and hope that somewhere a judge looks at this or a mediator looks at this and agrees with your argument. Remember, the legal arguments have been thus far that the ACC, very simplified, that the ACC did not in good faith negotiate to maximize profits for schools within it and then signed way too long of a contract all the way till 2036. So they did not go get as much as they could. Remember, that was the whole thing about, who was it, Swofford's kid working for the CW, and it gets the contract to carry ACC material. And then when you know it, a couple of days later, promoted to a VP spot, gets a new sports car, corner office, yada, 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 the whole nine. So they kind of need, the ACC to look as weak as possible. Joey B said, wouldn't those big Friday numbers make Clemson look more attractive to the Big E or the Big Ten and the SEC too? I mean, theoretically, right? But Clemson's already one of the crown jewels out of this conference. If there are schools wanted out of this conference, it is Clemson, it is Florida State, it is Miami, it is North Carolina. Everybody else would be a nice little bonus, right? And so if you are one of those schools, or excuse me, if you are currently one of those schools looking to get out, you're already viewed as attractive. Clemson's not going to be viewed as unattractive to those spots, right? They're just not. They're an attractive proposition of a potential member. And if that truly is the case, then I think your spot at that point has got to be, we've got to make these numbers as bad as we can, and playing on a Friday night as, at the very worst, the most attractive team, the fourth most attractive game that day. At the very worst. Realistically speaking, probably third, maybe second, depending on if Georgia Tech can in any way, shape, or form make it a game against Georgia. Spoiler alert, they can't. So, I don't know. My argument, if I'm the ACC, is that Clemson didn't act in good faith by not moving that game with a chance of an increased revenue. Yeah, I'm gonna go with it was requested of Clemson, not demanded, right? Like, they had every right to say no. It's their schedule. They can say no to that. This is your world. You know better than I do here. I'm just an idiot with a microphone and a webcam. But I'm gonna say, I think in that spot, that it was a request, and Clemson has the right to say no to the request. Whereas Clemson's argument, and this is why, remember when the whole thing about the commish's kid getting a better job and getting a promotion and getting the upgrade and all that. When that story dropped a while back, I remember it very well. I came on the show the next day and said, this is a huge story. This is a huge story because this is, to me, this is the one thing that you are likely going to hear every school that's in a lawsuit with the ACC going, yeah, but look at this. Look at this. Look what happened here. Can you truly tell me that the ACC was arguing to get as much money for us as possible as a partner, as much money for us as possible as a member, when the commish's kids signed a deal with the commish, and then the commish's son got an immediate promotion in a corner office and yada, 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 right? I mean, kind of hard to prove, but it's a lot of circumstantial evidence right after a deal to put the ACC on, I believe it was the CW, was signed. May have been a smaller network. It was a smaller network. I think it was the CW. I do not remember. But the point here is that's pretty coincidental, I think, for that kid to be the guy who signs the deal with the conference and then immediately catch that promotion up a level, right? Like I honestly think that's heavy enough to hold up in that court argument. So we'll see. What I can tell you is that there is a hearing taking place in the Mecklenburg County Courthouse right now. The ACC v. Clemson has its first hearing that is underway officially. Graham Neff is in the courtroom, as is Clemson trustee David E. Dukes, along with several other lawyers. So John Blau is there. He is covering it. If you want to toss him a follow at John_Blau, JON_BLAU, he is going to be live reporting this. And once this is over, either towards the end of this week or next Monday, if they are done and John's not in a courtroom, we'll get John on the show to break down what he saw and what he heard with this whole thing. We'll see how it plays out. So there's that. Hey, the U.S., did you hear this? The U.S. lost a soccer game last night. Lost to Uruguay 1-0.
I was not aware.
No?
I don't really follow the game, though.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Berhalter was asked at a press conference after the game, are you the guy?
Just to see the guys.
It's just not good enough. That's just all there is to it. It's just not good enough. It's not. It's just not good enough. It's tactical mistakes, and it's the same ones. It's an undisciplined team. Like I know a lot of people are trying to blame the loss last night on the red card against Timothy Weah in the Panama game. I have news for you. Joey B and I had this conversation. The South American and Central American teams make every match a street fight. And if they get a chance to come in and knock us off on our soil, it's just that much more impactful for them. They make it a street fight. They are going to poke, and they are going to prod, and they are going to push, and they are going to shove, and they're going to slap, and they're going to knee, and they're going to heavy tackle. They're going to do all those things in this game. And what they are banking on is for you to get caught. Because you may have heard this before. The second guy always gets caught. Always. That's the rule. It is something that I ingrained in kids when I was coaching Little League. It is something that we still say to NBAers. The second guy always gets caught. So don't be the second guy. That was always my rule with my players. Look, if a dude gets physical with you, and he shoves you out from underneath the basket or gives you a little extra pepper when he's boxing out, or if you go to the ground, if he kicks you on the way by, do not react in that moment. Do not, because you will be the one that gets caught and bounced from the game. Do not react. Wait three possessions and then do it. Wait three possessions before you give it back.
Yeah, he'll think that you're letting it go.
Yeah.
So, and then you can sneak him.
Yeah. Wait three possessions. If he pokes you in the rib when you go out for a board, wait three possessions and you do it back to him. Because not only are you getting it back, but then you try to make him the second guy, right? if Timothy Weah comes into this game so undisciplined that he doesn't understand that Panama's game is going to be to push and poke and prod and shove you around, waiting for you to retaliate and then dramatically sell like they're trying to win a freaking Emmy, then that's undisciplined from the coach. That's a lack of discipline from the coach to the team, and it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. And as I said back in the first hour of the show, we have the World Cup in less than 2 years. It is likely the last one of my lifetime. It's likely the last one of my lifetime. If they come around at the same pace, the next time that this event happens, I'll be in my mid-70s. Dudes in my family don't make it to the mid-70s. I'm aware of that. That's not fatalistic. That's just facing reality.
It's fatalistic. Stop it.
It's not. It's just
be the exception.
So with all of that being said, yeah, I want to perform. I want to win. And this is our last chance to do anything like it. It's our last chance to do anything like it, and I despise it. Because at this point, losing that game was the one thing that would make moving on from Berhalter a possibility. It's the one thing, and it's happened. So now, will anybody in U.S. soccer have the rocks to make the move that needs to get made? Will anybody have the stones to go, we didn't meet our goals, forget our goals, our expectations, not our goals. You should have expectations, and then your goals are beyond that. We didn't meet our expectations. Embarrassing. We didn't just meet them. We failed to come even close, and we regretted them. That's tragic. And if we just roll this into the World Cup, we will be embarrassed in our own house, and I don't like it.
Look at there. We're already at the end of the show. Time for What the X. We're asked Rob what the X is going on, and he will tell all of us why the first thing that's Xing yo is Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal, who of course is the star of Game of Thrones as Oberyn Martell.
He was in Game of Thrones?
Oh, he was exceptional in Game of Thrones. He was cool.
Couldn't get past the incest. My bad.
And then his head exploded.
Did it?
Yeah. The mountain got him by the head and squeezed his head popped like a balloon. It was brutal.
I know who the
mountain was. Brutal. Yeah. Anyway, he is trending because everybody's like, the Acolyte's so bad, I would take another season of Mandalorian before I come back to this.
All right, that's not why he's trending. Oh, okay. He is trending because pictures are being posted of Gladiator 2. Did you know he was in it? I didn't, but he is.
He fits. By the way, is anybody having a better life than Pedro Pascal right now?
Yeah, he's like, in everything.
Is anybody having a better life? He's in comedies, he's in drama, he's in romance movies, he's in action flicks, he's in Star Wars, he's in Gladiator 2, a movie that I will be seeing the day it comes out because Gladiator was amazing.
He's in a beer commercial too. What is it? Corona.
Yeah, he's in Corona Select, I think. Like, not just regular Corona. The good stuff.
Where he leaves the city through the jungle and there's a beach.
Pretty good.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Lonzo.
Because Lonzo Ball has not signed an extension to remain with Chicago.
Actually, it's because people are making fun of the fact that he's available and no one's taking him.
Yeah, nobody's taking him.
Yeah.
I looked earlier today at a list of the top 10 remaining NBA free agents, and I do not think it is going to come to the shock nor surprise of anybody else that he's not on it. LeBron James is available, DeMar DeRozan, Miles Bridges, Buddy Hield, Tyus Jones, Malik Beasley, Sadiq Bey, Moritz Wagner, Kyle Anderson, Gary Trent Jr., Spencer Dinwiddie, all still available. Caleb Martin's out there. Gordon Hayward's out there.
There's still some major moves going to be made.
Oh, for sure. We're nowhere near done. Now we're at a point where, look at that. Pat Bev is still out there. Everybody wants a Patrick Beverley in their life, right? We're at the point now where it's about moves that build a roster, not just get as much talent as you can.
All right. Mac on the stream says, just announced.
DeMar DeRozan going to L.A. Which L.A.?
Yeah, that's what I was.
Which L.A.?
While you're looking that up, the next thing that's Xing is Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie is trending because a new Netflix movie with her just dropped.
All right. Mac says Lakers.
Bang. Yes. That's actually really nice for LeBron.
It is.
That's actually really nice for LeBron. They got the best free agent available this morning. You pair him up with Braun as your outside threat. Braun gets to play more of the distribution role. I really like that for the Lakers, to be honest. Margot Robbie's trending because she's hot. That's all I got.
It's also her birthday.
No, oh, happy birthday, Margot
Robbie. How old is she?
30.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Oh, so close. 34.
34.
She is 34.
She's my age.
No, she's not. She is within range, though. I mean, it depends on what you consider range.
That's true.
I mean, once you get out of
your
30s.
Half your age plus eight.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, half your age
plus
eight.
No, as you get older, that doesn't matter. It's more about money. the last thing that's excellent, if you have money.
You know what they say about money? It's just a number.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, I don't know who they are, but they ain't got no money. All right, and finally, the Wyatt Six are exiting.
Monday Night Raw, baby! Have not watched it yet. Mm-hmm. Did they show up last night?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Don't tell me another word. Not another word. Is Chad Gable still dead? Because he got shot in the head?
No, he's
I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say Chad Gable was shot in the head.
I can't say anymore.
Perfect. That's it for the show. Because I can't say anymore either.
We can't say. Neither one of us can say anymore.
Y'all have a lovely rest of your day. Fire Greg Berhalter, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later. All right, I'll run through this real quick, and then we'll get another couple of segments in. Brandon says, yeah, right, you hurt big companies by hurting their pockets. It's the only way. And to be honest, even that's tough to do. But if you're the ACC, excuse me, if you are Clemson fighting the ACC, it's kind of your only option here. It's kind of your only option is to do as much damage to the conference as you can to make them look as weak as possible and hope that somewhere a judge looks at this or a mediator looks at this and agrees with your argument. Remember, the legal arguments have been thus far that the ACC, very simplified, that the ACC did not in good faith negotiate to maximize profits for schools within it and then signed way too long of a contract all the way till 2036. So they did not go get as much as they could. Remember, that was the whole thing about, who was it, Swofford's kid working for the CW, and it gets the contract to carry ACC material. And then when you know it, a couple of days later, promoted to a VP spot, gets a new sports car, corner office, yada, 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 the whole nine. So they kind of need the ACC to look as weak as possible. Joey B said, wouldn't those big Friday numbers make Clemson look more attractive to the Big Ten and the SEC too? I mean, theoretically, right? But Clemson's already one of the crown jewels out of this conference. If there are schools wanted out of this conference, it is Clemson, it is Florida State, it is Miami, it is North Carolina. Everybody else would be a nice little bonus, right? And so if you are one of those schools, or excuse me, if you are currently one of those schools looking to get out, you're already viewed as attractive. Clemson's not going to be viewed as unattractive to those spots, right? They're just not. They're an attractive proposition of a potential member. And if that truly is the case, then I think your spot at that point has got to be, we've got to make these numbers as bad as we can, and playing on a Friday night as, at the very worst, the most attractive team, the fourth most attractive game that day. At the very worst. Realistically speaking, probably third, maybe second, depending on if Georgia Tech can in any way, shape, or form make it a game against Georgia. spoiler alert, they can't. So, I don't know. My argument, if I'm the ACC, is that Clemson didn't act in good faith by not moving that game with a chance of an increased revenue. Yeah, I'm gonna go with it was requested of Clemson, not demanded, right? Like, they had every right to say no. It's their schedule. They can say no to that. This is your world. You know better than I do here. I'm just an idiot with a microphone and a webcam. But I'm gonna say, I think in that spot, that it was a request, and Clemson has the right to say no to the request. Whereas Clemson's argument, and this is why, remember when the whole thing about the commish's kid getting a better job and getting a promotion and getting the upgrade and all that, when that story dropped a while back, I remember it very well. I came on the show the next day and said, this is a huge story. This is a huge story because this is, to me, this is the one thing that you are likely going to hear every school that's in a lawsuit with the ACC going, yeah, but look at this. Look at this. Look what happened here. Can you truly tell me that the ACC was arguing to get as much money for us as possible as a partner, as much money for us as possible as a member, when the commish's kids signed a deal with the commish, and then the commish's son got an immediate promotion in a corner office and yada, 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 right? I mean, kind of hard to prove, but it's a lot of circumstantial evidence right after a deal to put the ACC on, I believe it was the CW, was signed. May have been a smaller network. I think it was the CW. I do not remember. But the point here is, that's pretty coincidental, I think, for that kid to be the guy who signs the deal with the conference and then immediately catch that promotion up a level, right? Like, I honestly think that's heavy enough to hold up in that court argument. So we'll see. What I can tell you is that there is a hearing taking place in the Mecklenburg County Courthouse right now. The ACC v. Clemson has its first hearing that is underway officially. Graham Neff is in the courtroom, as is Clemson trustee David E. Dukes, along with several other lawyers. So John Blau is there. He is covering it. If you want to toss him a follow at John_Blau, JON_BLAU, he is going to be live reporting this. And once this is over, either towards the end of this week or next Monday, if they are done and John's not in a courtroom, we'll get John on the show to break down what he saw and what he heard with this whole thing. We'll see how it plays out. So there's that. Hey, the U.S., did you hear this? The U.S. lost a soccer game last night. Lost to Uruguay 1-0.
I was not aware.
No?
I don't really follow the game, though.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Berhalter was asked at a press conference after the game, are you the guy?
Just to see the guys.
It's just not good enough. That's just all there is to it. It's just not good enough. It's not. It's just not good enough. It's tactical mistakes, and it's the same ones. It's an undisciplined team. Like, I know a lot of people are trying to blame the loss last night on the red card against Timothy Weah in the Panama game. I have news for you. Joey B and I had this conversation. The South American and Central American teams make every match a street fight. And if they get a chance to come in and knock us off on our soil, it's just that much more impactful for them. They make it a street fight. They are going to poke, and they are going to prod, and they are going to push, and they are going to shove, and they're going to slap, and they're going to knee, and they're going to heavy tackle. They're going to do all those things in this game. And what they are banking on is for you to get caught. Because you may have heard this before. The second guy always gets caught. Always. That's the rule. It is something that I ingrained in kids when I was coaching Little League. It is something that we still say to NBAers. The second guy always gets caught. So don't be the second guy. That was always my rule with my players. Look, if a dude gets physical with you and he shoves you out from underneath the basket or gives you a little extra pepper when he's boxing out, or if you go to the ground, if he kicks you on the way by, do not react in that moment. Do not, because you will be the one that gets caught and bounced from the game. Do not react. Wait three possessions and then do it. Wait three possessions before you give it back.
Yeah, he'll think that you're letting it go.
Yeah.
So, and then you can sneak him.
Yeah. Wait three possessions. If he pokes you in the rib when you go up for a board, wait three possessions and you do it back to him. Because not only are you getting it back, but then you try to make him the second guy, right? If Timothy Weah comes into this game so undisciplined that he doesn't understand that Panama's game is going to be to push and poke and prod and shove you around, waiting for you to retaliate and then dramatically sell like they're trying to win a freaking Emmy, then that's undisciplined from the coach. That's a lack of discipline from the coach to the team, and it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. And as I said back in the first hour of the show, we have the World Cup in less than 2 years. It is likely the last one of my lifetime. It's likely the last one of my lifetime. If they come around at the same pace the next time that this event happens, I'll be in my mid-70s. Dudes in my family don't make it to the mid-70s. I'm aware of that. That's not fatalistic. That's just facing reality.
It's fatalistic. Stop it.
It's not. It's just
be the exception.
So with all of that being said, yeah, I want to perform. I want to win. And this is our last chance to do anything like it. It's our last chance to do anything like it, and I despise it. Because at this point, losing that game was the one thing that would make moving on from Berhalter a possibility. It's the one thing, and it's happened. So now, will anybody in U.S. soccer have the rocks to make the move that needs to get made? Will anybody have the stones to go, we didn't meet our goals, forget our goals, our expectations. Not our goals. You should have expectations, and then your goals are beyond that. We didn't meet our expectations. Embarrassing. We didn't just meet them. We failed to come even close, and we regretted them. That's tragic. And if we just roll this into the World Cup, we will be embarrassed in our own house, and I don't like it.
Look at there. We're already at the end of the show. Time for What the X. We're asked Rob what the X is going on, and he will tell all of us why the first thing that's Xing yo is Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal, who, of course, is the star of Game of Thrones as Oberyn Martell.
He was in Game of Thrones?
Oh, he was exceptional in Game of Thrones. He was cool.
Couldn't get past the incest, my bad.
And then his head exploded.
Did it?
Yeah. The mountain got him by the head and squeezed until his head popped like a balloon. It was brutal.
I know who the
mountain was. Brutal. Anyway, he is trending because everybody's like, the Acolyte's so bad, I would take another season of Mandalorian before I come back to this.
All right, that's not why he's trending. Oh, okay. He is trending because pictures are being posted of Gladiator 2. Did you know he was in it? I didn't, but he is.
He fits. By the way, is anybody having a better life than Pedro Pascal right now?
Yeah, he's like, in everything.
Is anybody having a better life? He's in comedies, he's in drama, he's in romance movies, he's in action flicks, he's in Star Wars, he's in Gladiator 2, a movie that I will be seeing the day it comes out because Gladiator was amazing.
He's in a beer commercial too. What is it? Corona.
Corona Select, I think. Like, not just regular Corona. The good stuff.
Where he leaves the city through the jungle and there's a beach.
Pretty good.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Lonzo.
Because Lonzo Ball has not signed an extension to remain with Chicago.
Actually, it's because people are making fun of the fact that he's available and no one's taking him.
Yeah, nobody's taking him.
Yeah.
I looked earlier today at a list of the top 10 remaining NBA free agents, and I do not think it is going to come to the shock nor surprise of anybody else that he's not on it. LeBron James is available, DeMar DeRozan, Miles Bridges, Buddy Hield, Tyus Jones, Malik Beasley, Sadiq Bey, Moritz Wagner, Kyle Anderson, Gary Trent Jr., Spencer Dinwiddie, all still available. Caleb Martin's out there. Gordon Hayward's out there.
There's still some major moves going to be made.
Oh, for sure. We're nowhere near done. Now we're at a point where, look at that. Pat Bev is still out there. Everybody wants a Patrick Beverley in their life, right? We're at the point now where it's about moves that build the roster, not just get as much talent as you can.
All right. Mac on the stream says, just announced.
DeMar DeRozan going to L.A. Which L.A.?
Yeah, that's what I was.
Which L.A.?
While you're looking that up, the next thing that's Xing is Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie is trending because a new Netflix movie with her just dropped.
All right. Mac says Lakers.
Bang.
Yes.
That's actually really nice for LeBron.
It is.
That's actually really nice for LeBron. They got the best free agent available this morning. You pair him up with Bron as your outside threat. Bron gets to play more of the distribution role. I really like that for the Lakers, to be honest. Margot Robbie's trending because she's hot. That's all I got.
It's also her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Margot
Robbie. How old is she?
30.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Oh, so close. 34.
34.
She is 34.
She's my age.
No, she's not. She is within range, though. I mean, it depends on what you consider range.
That's true.
I mean, once you get out of
your
30s.
Half your age plus eight.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, half your age
plus
eight.
No, as you get older, that doesn't matter. It's more about money. the last thing that's excellent, if you have money.
You know what they say about money? It's just the number.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, I don't know who they are, but they ain't got no money. All right, and finally, the Wyatt Six are exiting.
Monday Night Raw, baby! Have not watched it yet. Mm-hmm. Did they show up last night?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Don't tell me another word. Not another word. Is Chad Gable still dead? Because he got shot in the head?
No, he's.
I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say Chad Gable was shot in the head.
I can't say anymore.
Perfect. That's it for the show. Because I can't say anymore either.
We can't say. Neither one of us can say anymore.
Y'all have a lovely rest of your day. Fire Greg Berhalter, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.